appreciate the prayer and Brother Robert leading us in our singing. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds a sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Can you imagine writing a song like that? It's got to be something special. Do you know who holds tomorrow? We sing these songs. God's children, take them to heart. Sing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. We are so blessed to have songs like this. Cause us to think about our blessings, our difficulties. Everybody faces adversity. I do want to mention that Emily takes a step forward, takes a step backward, sort of like Lee did when he had his liver transplant. I hope Eric doesn't have to do that. She had some fluid, quite a bit evidently, on her lungs, and they were on top of it today and have taken off quite a bit of fluid, and I'm certain that she'll feel much better. So we appreciate your prayers. We know that God holds us in his hand, and we should not worry about tomorrow, should we? Maybe you've got some tests coming up. Maybe you have a surgery coming up. I'm not going to say you shouldn't be concerned. I would be somewhat of a liar. We are concerned about ourselves and concerned about other people, but we trust in the Lord. And it is true, the one that takes care of the sparrows will be with us and take care of us. We've come down to our seventh point, the last point in this series of lessons, looking at it as a complete whole. All these things that we are to keep. Originally, probably thought I would get through about maybe three at one time and four another time. But when I go to the Bible and start studying it, I say, well, this seems like we need a whole lesson on this. We need to keep the unity of the Spirit. So what was originally just one of the points in the sermon becomes the sermon that we had this morning. Those of you that really know me know that things don't always go as we plan. I was thinking about what I have in front of me here, a scripture, and the title is, We Need to Keep the Commandments of the Lord. If you listen this morning, and I don't hold you to try to remember all these points, but try to register the main ideas, we had a lesson, an entire lesson, on that we need to keep the words of God. We need to keep God's word. And this one is similar to that because God has given us commandments. But I made it a separate point because he uses that terminology in particular, that he expects us to keep his commandments. And with God's children, it's not a heavy and a difficult task. Oh, we have difficulties in life, but in the worst of conditions, in the hospital or at home in the bed, we can be faithful to God. God's children do that, and we see that all the time here at State Street. The other, I don't know, I guess it's sometime maybe last week, I was studying particular lesson. This is the way that I suppose others do, and hadn't decided to preach it yet. It's not unusual, actually, to get two or three things you're working on, and you don't know which one you're going to teach and when. So I'm going to preempt this a little bit tonight and do some reading from the book of Amos. Amos chapter 4. Brother Tom has been teaching us in 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and now in 2nd Kings about the kings of the southern tribe, often called Judah, the southern kingdom, and then the northern tribes. There were 10 tribes that split away from God, 10 tribes that went astray. And you remember that Jeroboam put gods in Dan and Bethel, golden gods, golden calves. I just beyond me how that they could all of a sudden start worshiping there, but the thing about it was very convenient, wasn't it? And it is a fact that some people worship God just out of convenience. They didn't have to go all the way down from up there in the north in the city of Dan. They didn't have to go all the way down there to Jerusalem to the feast. Why? They got a God right there. That was pretty handy. And we have these great preachers. We are currently on Sunday morning. Tom does a great job, very good job. And we're studying about Elisha. Probably toward the tail end of Elisha's life, there's a man by the name of Amos that reaches the scene, and he is a special prophet of God because he wasn't in the school of the prophets. He's a farmer. We all know farmers. We have farmers here. And he was a shepherd or herdman. And it seems as though at times then he was also a dresser of sycamore trees, and that was kind of a seasonal type thing, that they had to be dressed in a certain way. You can read about it. And God decided he was going to be a preacher. He's going to be a prophet. And when he preached up there and where Elisha had preached, and it's believed that he probably knew Elisha. So he's coming in at the tail end probably of Elisha. And he's preaching during the time of Hosea. Probably knew each other. And to some degree with Isaiah. Some of these prophets, as I've mentioned, they were contemporaries and no doubt knew each other. Amos was very plain. So I'm thinking, and this is thinking today, this afternoon, and I'm thinking, I have all of these real nice scriptures. We need to keep the commandments of God. Like John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Scripture after scripture after scripture about keeping God's commandments. But the thought occurred to me that with all of these scriptures that we have about the commandments of God, that if you don't really know God and know about God, it probably doesn't mean a lot. And I say that because you wonder sometimes why people do not respond. David and Phyllis, very, very special, Amy. We'll continue to encourage them. They are new. I will tell you this. I've never seen people come out of that water happier than those three. And if you'll notice this morning, they're still happy because they've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. So what I decided to do, and not go into it in quite as much length as normally you're afraid that I will go into it, I just want to read from the book of Amos and get down to the end. And I thought about it when I was studying this last week. I thought about it, about the passage as we get toward the end and how great God is. Well, maybe this would make us think a little bit. Make us think a little bit about preparing to meet God. And it appears that if you know about the time of Amos, during some of the reign of Uzziah, and not only Uzziah, but Jeroboam the second in the north. And it is a fact that at the time that he is preaching this sermon, the northern kingdom is about as prosperous as the Israelites have ever been. Now remember, these are the ones worshiping up there. They're worshiping at Dan and Bethel. They're idolaters. Jeroboam's a great general. They're winning victory after victory. All these, they seem like everything is going fine for them. You can't help but think about at times about our nation. I often think about World War II, and I will never be able to fathom the extent of that war and all of those people that died. It's so tragic. And you wonder about things like that, but may have saved the world. May have been enough righteousness left over to make it go a little bit longer so that these that obeyed the gospel were able to do so. We ourselves. I want to read from Amos chapter 4, if you have your Bible. If you know anything about Amos, he's a thus saith the Lord man, over and over and over again. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. You might not realize it from the King James just reading it, but if you were to study from anybody that has written on this subject, you'll find that this word kine is feminine. He is talking to the women that were living in luxury at the time that we're talking about, and he called them cows or heifers. Well, that would go over good in the church, wouldn't it? Huh? Do you remember? Now, God sent him to preach. And he's saying, you listen to this word. You're up there in the mountains, you're oppressing the poor, crushing the needy, would say to their masters, bring and let us drink. Bring us a drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. If we read about the Assyrians, and this is talking about the Assyrian captivity that would take place in about 721 B.C., and they would oppress them, and literally as they took them into captivities, they would put hooks in their mouths. Can you imagine what I read was even in the lip? Can you imagine a big long line of however many thousands of Israelites, and they're being beaten and chastised and not given food or water, and they got these hooks, and they're leading them into captivity. And they, just before that, they're in all this luxury. Bring us another glass of wine. So he says in verse 3, ye shall go out at the breaches. Every cow that's supplied, but that's what he's talking about, at that which is before her. You old heifers, you're going out. Ye shall cast them into the palace at the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. If you ever read the Bible, you know that they were not to offer any sacrifices with leaven. So what we have is what you call religiosity, I guess. Very religious people. They're living this life of idolatry and sin of every type and sort, covetousness. Here's, go through the book of Amos. We'll not do it tonight. And he says, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. And he says, for this liketh you. That's why they were doing this. That's what you like. That's what you want. Well, it looks like to me we still got people like that. They just do whatever they like. Say whatever they want. Doesn't bother them. Whether it's right, whether wrong, it doesn't bother them. Just do whatever pleases them. O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Now we have this section in which we have a statement repeated five times. You know, this morning we went over some things. We went over the 7 points, repeated it. He says in verse 6, I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. That means they didn't have to eat all the time. They wanted to have to eat in some of the cities. And want of bread, and this is over a period of time, in all your places. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So God had chastised them, gave them difficulties, cleanness and teeth along the way. Said, that didn't bother you. That didn't affect you. You did not return unto me, saith the Lord. This is God talking to these people. And here's Amos. He goes up there and preaches. And Amos, they told him, you know, you don't need to come here. They did not like Amos. And also, I have withholden the rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to the harvest, they're going to be needing the rain. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. I don't know if they ever even thought about that, but God said there's some cities that I just didn't give me any rain. And I look out and say, I'll let it rain over in this city. Caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city, so they're leaving one city that's totally dry, and they're going to other cities to drink water. But they're not satisfied. This is the second time he says it. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. It's amazing how people can go through so much in a nation, and even individuals, and not return unto God. In verse 9, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Here it is, the third time. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. One thing after another. God did these things to bring them to himself. It is not true simply because you have difficulties that you have sinned in such a way as to bring the difficulty. That does happen. But Job hadn't done anything to bring all those difficulties of losing his children, his servants, his wealth, his animals. But here we see God was chastising them. And he did not return unto the Lord. Verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Remember all the diseases and pestilences they had down in Egypt? You young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. They still didn't get their attention. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. This is interesting because Amos lived 12 miles south of Jerusalem, about 6 miles from Bethlehem. And he could look out and see in the distance, because it was about 2,500-foot plateau, he could look out and see the Dead Sea about 18 miles away. That's where Sodom and Gomorrah are, as I understand it. They're in the Dead Sea. Ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. That's the fifth time. So God said, I brought all these things upon you, and you did not get your attention. I'll be honest with you, in preaching, many times I'm kind of stifled, have no idea how to get people's attention. Seemed like you should just be able to preach the Word of God, get people's attention. But I've reached a conclusion that they don't really think about God. There's a back area, you kind of fool yourself, you deceive yourself. So it brings us down to this conclusion. Originally, this would have been the title of the sermon. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. It wasn't a judgment day. It was the Assyrians. God was going to come upon them in that way. He said, you get ready. You'll get prepared to meet God because you're going to meet him. You can't help but wonder, if we're not prepared, how would you like to meet God? In Hebrews 10 and 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You do not want to go to the judgment unprepared to meet God. I did all of this for one reason, in reference to obeying the commandments, and that's to get to verse 13, which seemed to have an impact on my mind. For lo, he that formeth the mountains. We got mountains around here. Where'd they come from? God formed them. They didn't come by accident. This world that we see in the creation is not accidental. Hannah told me today that she was out with Patches, our little chihuahua, and a hawk came down. I know about that hawk. I've seen it. And it went after a rabbit. She said it kind of darted off. I think that the hawk probably saw Hannah, and Patches was close by. They say that the hawk will probably not try to kill a dog that's 10 pounds. That's right about where, that's about where Patches is. But I've seen the hawk coming down in my backyard. I wrote an article one time here in the congregation called The Peaceful Rabbit. And I watched that hawk come down and hit that rabbit. And I've read about them in stories, and they can actually break their back and break their necks. They're so powerful. And the animal usually is dead when they fly away with it. And you can't help but think, now God made that hawk. God made that rabbit. And createth the wind. Where does the wind come from? Who thinks about that? You watch the weather. How many of you try to watch the weather pretty often? Charlotte and I very often don't watch much on the local channels, but we like to watch the weather. If you know what it's going to be this week, let me know. I haven't seen it lately. But he created the wind. The wind had to come from somewhere. The ocean had to come from somewhere. The whales had to come from somewhere. The birds and the sparrows had to come from somewhere. Where did they come from? Oh, they just evolved. That is a meaningless statement, most meaningless statement I think you could ever make. And it just baffles me how that, in my judgment, it's a close equivalent to idolatry. And if I can convince you that there is no creator, when you see the creation, I probably could convince you to worship a golden calf. I've got a book on the final sermons, or some of the sermons, autobiography of G.K. Wallace. G.K. Wallace went to Midway, Kentucky, which is the first of the Churches of Christ, to our knowledge, that started worshiping with the instruments. And you can go visit there, and evidently it's sort of like a museum. And Brother Wallace says in his book that the man is a tour guide. He looks at the organ or piano, and he says, can you imagine that they divided the church over something this small? G.K. Wallace was pretty sharp. He said, oh, it's probably not any smaller than the golden calves. Isn't that something? But that's the way people think. Oh, it's all right. Nothing wrong with it. Everybody's doing it. Find it in the Bible. Find it in church history. There are books down there in the library. You go get them. You got a Bible, you read the Bible. That God never put that in New Testament worship. He declareth unto man what is his thought. Who knows the thoughts of men except God? Only God. Declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness. We don't even think about it. Dark in the morning? Why is it dark? God made it that way. The one that made the sun, the moon, and the stars. But we get up, whether it's dark, watch the sunrise or watch it set. People do it every day, and then they don't think about God. They don't think about preparing to meet God. They don't think about the creation, the wind, the glory. Seems strange to me. Simply not thinking. And tread upon the high places of the earth. God is pictured as going across those mountains and high places. Read the book of Job and seeing the goats on the mountains. God knows all about that. It's all in the mind of God. And this is the way. This is the way he concludes this section before he starts off again. Hear ye this word. The Lord, the God of hosts. That's the God of the armies. Angels are up there. You don't see them. I don't see them. There's a glorious God. Israel, they're worshiping these calves. And we've already studied where for a good while they worshiped Baal. And they got rid of that. But they never got rid of the calves. They never repented. And out of all of the kings of Israel, they didn't have in the northern 10 tribes one righteous king. You know what their problem was? Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? All those things hath mine hand made, all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. This man will I look, and the man that he looked for was the one that trembles at his word. They didn't tremble at his word. Isaiah, the great prophet of God. Jeroboam, he didn't tremble. Cain did not tremble. Nadab and Abihu did not tremble. None of them trembled before God. And we have a lot of people in our country and in the world that do not tremble before God. There's a statement in there just before trembling. It says, to him that is poor in a contrite spirit, a broken spirit. That's sort of what we talked about this morning. So now I want to read this scripture, and if you tremble at his word, if you believe he created the wind, if you understand he is the Lord God of the angels and above all things, that's the last thing we read in Ephesians 4:6, wasn't it? John 15:9-14. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide. Remember, that's that word tarry. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know how much love God the Father had for his Son? He said, now if you abide in my commandments, the Father will have that same love towards you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Right in the midst of the night before he's crucified, he's speaking about joy. It's because you have joy when you're right with God. You'll have joy when you're right with God. But you'll have to prepare. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I gave that illustration about the man that wrote the poem on the trees, and one of our good members pointed out that there's a similar story that Ronald Reagan told about a man that felt the weight of the entire war depended, if it depended upon him, he was ready to die, and he was a courier, and that was a different one, but I will tell you that the one that I read about that died in World War I, evidently he went out as a scout, if you know anything about that. He went out by himself to scout out a machine gun nest. And they went looking for him. They didn't know where he was. They went looking for him. When they found him, they saw him. And as they were approaching, they could see nothing wrong with him. It looked like he was just laying there. And they called out to him and tried to talk to him. But evidently, he was killed by a sniper, they believe. And had one bullet to the head. So, he wasn't carrying the messages. But he went out there in the worst of combat as a scout. And he died for what he believed. You have an opportunity this evening to obey the Lord. It's more important than anything else. As important as our nation is that we love, the most important thing is to prepare to meet thy God. If you've never been buried with your Lord in baptism, you have probably heard these scriptures 100, 200, I don't know how many times. Prepare to meet thy God. If you're an erring child of God, prepare to meet thy God. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Hear the word of the Lord. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.